grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Lord's Day, the 22nd chapter of St. Matthew, the 18th through the 21st verse. But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." In the Gospel for this Lord's Day, Jesus' enemies try to put him in a no-win, catch-22 situation. When they say to him, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Jesus' enemies reason that if on the one hand Jesus were to admit the lawfulness of paying taxes to Caesar, he would alienate the Jewish people who bitterly resented the Roman authorities who ruled over them. After all, the popular idea of the promised Messiah was of one who would deliver them from their oppressors, not one who would collaborate with their oppressors. But if, on the other hand, Jesus were to deny the lawfulness of paying taxes to Caesar, his enemies could therefore very easily get rid of him by denouncing him to the Roman authorities as a dangerous revolutionary. Yes, it was, you might say, a no-win, catch-22 situation. In order to understand Jesus' answer, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's," we need to keep at least two things in mind. First of all, according to the thinking of people in the ancient world, the coinage of a ruler not only bore his likeness, but in fact actually belonged to him. And secondly, according to the teaching of the Old Testament scriptures, which were accepted as authoritative as God's word, both by Jesus and by his enemies, human beings are made in the image of God, as we read in the very first chapter of the first book of the Bible. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God made man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And so because the coin bears Caesar's image, the coin belongs to Caesar. Because human beings bear God's image, human beings belong to God. And so Jesus concludes, "Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." The coin belongs to Caesar, and one can therefore rightly give Caesar what belongs to him. And that means that one can and must obey the Roman authorities, no matter how distressing that might be. And what Jesus' words imply for his followers, for you and for me, is that as Christians, we not only can but must, with a good conscience, obey the civil authority, remembering, of course, that Jesus' words also tell us that no human authority is unlimited. Because the coin bears the image of Caesar, it belongs to Caesar. And because we as human beings bear the image of God, we completely belong to him. As the one who made us, we owe to God complete obedience. And so if the civil authority requires us to do anything that contradicts God's known will, in that case, we cannot, we must not obey. We know that the early Christians lived in accord with these words of Jesus. They paid their taxes. They obeyed the law. They prayed for the emperor, even when the emperor was persecuting them. Some served as soldiers in the emperor's army. But when the Roman authorities demanded that they join in worshiping the emperor, they chose to suffer martyrdom rather than worship the emperor as if he were God. We, in fact, hear echoes of this determination in the very ancient hymn we sing toward the beginning of the divine service, the hymn known as the Gloria in Excelsis, a hymn that's so old that it in fact appears toward the end of some manuscripts of New Testament writings. At its end, we sing, Thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only art the Lord. The Lord was one of the titles that the Roman emperors claimed for themselves. In fact, at least one emperor claimed for himself the title God and Lord. And to that the Christians said no and kept on singing, Thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. The point is that the obedience we owe to the civil authority is limited. It's limited by the obedience we owe to God. My country, right or wrong, is not a Christian sentiment, because every human being, every nation, every government stands under the judgment of God and is accountable to him. So our Lord's words, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, are not some kind of carte blanche to the civil authority to do as it pleases. And consequently, just because something may be lawful does not make it right or good in the eyes of God. While the obedience we owe the civil authority is limited, the obedience we owe to God knows no limit. Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Because the coin bears Caesar's image, the coin belongs to Caesar. Because human beings bear the image of God, human beings belong to God. Now, the image of God, in the strict sense, in the sense of perfect holiness and perfect conformity to the will of God. The image of God in that sense was lost in the fall of our first parents, and is only beginning to be restored in us who, through holy baptism, have received the pardon of our sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit, who stirs in us, the desire to live holy lives. St. Paul writes to the Christians in Colossae that they have put on the new nature, which is being renewed after the image of its Creator. But only in the resurrection at the last day will the image of God in this sense be fully restored to that which God intended from the beginning. But while the image of God in the strict sense has been lost in the fall, the image of God in a wider sense remains, meaning that even after the fall we remain rational creatures, gifted with understanding and will, and remain uniquely precious to Him who made us. But only in Jesus do we in fact see the image of God in perfection. In writing to those Christians at Colossae, St. Paul tells them that Christ is the image of the invisible God, the perfect image of the invisible God. He took on himself the humanity that is yours and mine, and in that humanity he perfectly rendered to God the things that are God's. He did that for you and for me as our substitute in the eyes of God, and then as our substitute he died in our place, suffering for us God's judgment on the whole lost world of sinners. He removed all our guilt and stain, and by his resurrection opened the way to everlasting life. Yes, you and I are citizens of this world, and we are citizens of this God-blessed country. But as St. Paul says in the epistle read on this day, our real citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Thank you.